This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL. Up next, Ben Sirica is joined by Dr. Robert Vogel, clinical professor of medicine at the University of Colorado School of Medicine in Aurora. They cover LDL lowering and cognitive function. What is the latest data?
Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be here.
So this is a critically important topic because when we talk about LDL, LDL lowering, and specific therapies, it's an area where patients have incredible amount of sensitivities, and there is a lot of data, and some good and some bad, that's out there, but it weighs heavily on their decisions whether they're going to follow our recommendations. And so I wondered if you could just take a step back and talk about why there's even a concern about an association between LDL and cognitive function.
Well, dementia is the second most feared disease after cancer. So our patients are very concerned about dementia. The brain has a lot of cholesterol in it, depending upon gray matter, white matter, et cetera, maybe 15, 20% cholesterol. So this is neuronally a very important substance. If we go back to the original cholesterol recommendations trials, there were concerns about suicide and maybe even homicide and folks who had their cholesterol lowering bile acid sequestrants. So we were preconditioned in many ways to think or at least be concerned about cholesterol lowering with either statins or newer agents and whether they would have an impact.
Is there any epidemiologic association between LDL levels and the risk of dementia?
The answer to that is clearly no. Framingham has looked at this in detail, studies of Alzheimer's disease and other neurocognitive dysfunctional diseases do not show an association. Remembering that there's a blood-brain barrier, most of the cholesterol in the brain is made in glial cells, and you know other tissues in the body use HDL to obtain cholesterol. So we don't think that there is an association just in general terms, but the actual data are really quite interesting.
Now, how did it get into the label of statins?
Our patients, as well as we know that the FDA has warned us about statins and mild cognitive dysfunction, not the protracted type, the Alzheimer's type, but transient kind of dysfunction that goes away when you stop the statin. This is based upon anecdotal and often poorly documented anecdotal reports. There have been a number of these. Statins are widely used, and when the FDA looked at that, they said they had enough reports to put it in as a recommendation. Now, Richardson did a very clever study and looked at other cardiovascular drugs, such as ARBs and antiplatelets, and found per prescription, there was just as much fogginess, just as much memory loss with other drugs. You take anything, remembering that cardiovascular patients are often elderly, you get a certain amount of mental dysfunction.
It's striking when I talk about statins with patients that the two things that come back are either the dementia or that I'm going to rot out their liver. And it's amazing how some of these very old anecdotes or with drugs that we don't use anymore have continued to, on the web.
And liver dysfunction is exceedingly rare. When you see a patient on a statin with liver dysfunction, make sure they're not drinking too much. Other problems, however, are more real. We see a certain amount of rise in CK on average, and about 5% of patients truly get myalgias. It's not 20%. The placebo-controlled randomized data show that that's about 5%. If there's one thing as a cardiologist I do worry about is hemorrhagic stroke, because hemorrhagic stroke probably is associated with significant cholesterol lowering, both epidemiologically as well as in our prospective data.
Yeah, no, that does seem to be a signal. I mean, it's a small absolute risk, but that does always seem to pop up.
And of course, total stroke goes down, but hemorrhagic stroke goes up a little bit.
So let's talk a little bit of the data that's coming from the new trials, either the intensive statin trials plus ezetimibe, or more importantly, the PCSK9 inhibitors, where we're reaching LDLs into the 10s and 20s and 30s.
Because with the evolocumab agent, there was a small signal of neurocognitive dysfunction in the early data, the Fourier trial necessitated a sub-study that was specifically directed at neurocognitive dysfunction with quite significant LDL lowering. I mean, there was no lower limit in that study that patients below 10. This was very carefully evaluated with automated neurocognitive testing, and they found nothing. With neurocognitive testing, they found nothing. With patient-reported dysfunction, they found nothing. And with physician-reported dysfunction, they found nothing. Even when they looked down to the very lowest LDLs, less than 25. In PROSPER, which is probably the best study for the statins, they also found nothing. It's a study in elderly patients, and with a relatively weak statin, they saw no signal of neurocognitive dysfunction.
Yeah, the Ebbinghaus seems to have been one of the most complete neurocognitive evaluations in this field, let alone in cardiology. And so I did find it reassuring as well, though it was just a two-year study.
That's the important factor. Two-year trials, both for efficacy and safety. And here we have great challenges in both of these areas. Statins are widely used. We add another drug. It's an expensive drug. Our data so far look positive, but we'd like to have more reassurance. But clearly, when you tell cardiologists, I'm recommending that you lower LDLs to 30 or 20 or 10, they look at you as this is nonsensical and frankly dangerous. So it's critically important that we have safety data that we can point to.
And we'll have more data coming up with the Odyssey study in terms of overall safety of getting LDLs that low.
With Odyssey, which is an ACS trial, we'll have data from 18,000 patients studied 3 years, still not a very long time. They didn't go all the way down. We limited LDL to above 15. Interestingly, in Fourier, any LDL went. But we'll have more data, another agent. I hope we have reassurance that these are safe drugs.
And maybe just summarize, what are the key two or three points you tell patients when they're worried about cognitive function with statins?
I tell my patients that cognitive function is a worry as we get older. It's a worry for them. It's a worry for society. The incidence of Alzheimer's is as much as 30 or 40% by age 85. It's a challenge. But that statins, if anything, and the observational data actually suggest a mild preservation of cognitive function, both of Alzheimer's in the Alzheimer's type and otherwise with patients on statin, because statins are pretty good for us. They limit vascular disease and therefore that kind of dementia. We have a new frontier clearly with the PCSK9 inhibitors, and I hope that the final data will look as good as the initial data.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much.
This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.